Does it make a difference to you knowing that, like, when he explained it, he did not take a deal, he did not cooperate, he did not turn anybody else in, he went, he done trial, you know, thank God he beat it.
Yeah.
Does that make a difference to you?
If with everything he taught me and all the lessons and everything like that, and then for him to go say did another thing, say he did cooperate, it would kind of, it would leave a little stain in my heart.
Yeah.
Because everything was one way.
You got brought up one way, and then, you know.
Exactly.
But, you know, like the, and I guess at the end of the day, what people can't do is they can't deal with the concept of doing life in prison. Yeah. That's a strong word. When you see that on a piece of paper, when you see your name, you know, however many years, life or whatever, that's a rock to the gut. And that's what a lot of these guys, you know, can't handle. And, you know, a lot of people out there have their opinions. They say, oh, I would never do this, I would never do that.
But when you're faced with it, it's different.
Exactly. And a lot of them would never wind up in that situation anyway, yet they type it and say, I would never do that.
Well, I personally would never get myself involved in something that I wouldn't be able to handle the consequences for. Right. These people, they know what they're signing up for. And once they're faced with the consequences of it, they want to run away.
Right.
The following podcast is a Carolina Boys production. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Crime and Entertainment. I hope everyone enjoyed last week's episode with Andrea Giovino. And today, boy, do we have a treat for you. We have the grandson of Joe Colombo, the son of Chris Colombo, who we've had on our show a few times. And I've been a guest on his show as well. This is the first interview ever from Joseph Christopher Colombo. And we basically talk about the family legacy that his father and grandfather brings, and then a little bit about his life and what he's into. You know, he's very into physical fitness. He's got some aspirations to probably do some things with that. We talked a little bit about entertainment and a lot about loyalty and about the values that he was brought up with by guys like his father, Chris, and, you know, that were instilled in Chris from his father, Joe. So I think you guys will find this interview very entertaining. So let's get right into it here on Crime and Entertainment with Joseph Colombo. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Crime and Entertainment. We have here pretty much a first-time exclusive interview here. Now, I just had a very interesting interview with your father.
Yeah.
to say the least. So, and people may not know you, so let's get into who you are. Joseph Christopher Colombo, you're the son of, obviously, Chris Colombo, and obviously your grandfather was a pretty important and wise man. What do you feel about everything that's going on now and a lot of people, what your father just spoke about, you know, the people that have, you know, cooperated and stuff? How much do you, you know, get into all that stuff with these documentaries?
I try not to, you know, I live my own life. It's kind of separate towards that. I just try to be the best man I can be.
That's
with the morals that my dad taught me.
Right. Grandfather.
And my grandfather.
Yeah. You were here. You listened to a lot of what your dad said, and I'm sure you were aware of what was going on around those times. Does it make a difference to you knowing that, like, when he explained it, he did not take a deal, he did not cooperate, he did not turn anybody else in, he went, he done trial, you know, thank God he beat it.
Yeah.
Does that make a difference to you?
If with everything he taught me and all the lessons and everything like that, and then for him to go say did another thing, say he did cooperate, it would leave a little stain in my heart.
Yeah.
Because everything was one way.
You got brought up one way, and then, you know.
Exactly.
But, you know, like the, and I guess at the end of the day, what people can't do is they can't deal with the concept of doing life in prison. Because that's a strong word. When you see that on a piece of paper, when you see your name, you know, however many years, life or whatever, that's a rock to the gut. And that's what a lot of these guys, you know, can't handle. And, you know, a lot of people out there have their opinions. They say, oh, I would never do this, I would never do that.
But when you're faced with it, it's different.
Exactly. And a lot of them would never wind up in that situation anyway, yet they type it and say, I would never do that.
Well, I personally would never get myself involved in something that I wouldn't be able to handle the consequences for.
Right.
These people, they know what they're signing up for. And once they're faced with the consequences of it, they want to run away.
Right. Now, you know, one of the things that could, let's go devil's advocate here. Hypothetically, had things worked out different for your father, you would have obviously been visiting him in a jail cell.
Yeah.
How would that have affected how you stood? Would you still thought he'd done it the right way, man's a man? Or would you be mad at him that he was in that situation that he got put there in the first place?
Definitely wouldn't be mad. It would change everything. Obviously, he wouldn't be here with me. I wouldn't have all the experiences of growing up with my father, which is, you know, not something to be taken lightly.
Right.
And I'm happy things worked out the way they did because I have my dad here. You know, not a lot of people could say they grew up with their father.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be a difficult thing, but he made his decision, you know, and my dad's a man and he lives with the consequences of his actions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'd rather see him live to his true morals and live and be himself than be something he's not.
Yeah, no, I understand.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. And that's the thing is, you know, when somebody stands on morals, they're going to stand on them, you know, through everything. And, you know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it don't. Like your father mentioned, John, say what you will about him, he took everything the government gave him, took it on the chin, and never made a peep. And I think if there's anybody that could have probably made a peep, it would have been him. He probably knew a lot of information. But, you know, he did it the right way as far as handling what the government gives you. Going back a little bit, how old were you when your dad was going through his
I was really young. A little too young to remember. That was a rough time, you know, obviously. So,
well, that's what I was trying to get at. Yeah. Like, did you realize the
definitely not
the gravity of the situation?
Absolutely not. I was too young to understand anything like that, but I definitely see how it affected the people around me when I was young. I was, you know, that's something that's obviously huge.
Yeah.
And growing up, that was tough, you know. I remember, I think we visited my dad a couple times. Now, how many times, when you were in the camp, right? We visited you?
I wouldn't let you visit me in prison.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
I was in the penitentiary.
Yeah.
And had I got life, I would have cut you loose. You wouldn't have come to see me.
Yeah.
Forget me. I'm done. Go on with your life.
Would you have been able to do that?
If I got older, absolutely, I would definitely 100% go and see my dad as much as possible. And that's my dad. I'm like,
no, I'm not going to say cut it loose.
Oh, absolutely not.
In there, he would have the choice whether he came to see you or not.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to see your visitors.
Wow. Well, I would hope he'd want to see me. But yeah, that's obviously a difficult thing for him, you know?
No, it's an enormous amount of stress.
The rest of your life in jail is insane.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, some things I can speak on and some things obviously I can't, but that is one thing that I can. Having that hanging over your head for like that's a heavy, and it puts a lot of stress on you. That stress trickles down to the family and, you know, on and on, and it can put a lot of burden on you. So, you know, in a way, that's probably a good thing that you're maybe a little too young to kind of carry that. What do you think about the podcast that he's doing now and it's taking action?
I think it's great. I love it. You know, I watch it, you know, and there's a lot of people that do gamble and they don't have a lot of information, you know,
right.
They kind of go with their gut.
Yeah.
So if they listen to him and it gives them the edge and they're able to make money off it, that's outstanding. I love that.
Have you ever seen some of these movies like there's a one with Al Pacino in it called Two for the Money with him and Matthew McConaughey?
I've never seen that one.
You've never seen that movie? Okay, you got to go watch it. It's based on a real story. It's about a guy named Brandon Lang. Mm-hmm. And he was basically, I guess you'd call it a handicapper. And it's really good. Matthew McConaughey plays him. Al Pacino's in it. He's the guy that hired him to his firm. And he basically runs on like this really, really run of good luck. Everybody that's under him is like, you know, balling, making money, buying cars. And then he goes on a run of bad luck. And then everybody loses it. So it's based on a true story. I don't know if the guy's still a handicapper now or not. I know he's on Instagram.
Yeah.
I follow him. But that's it used to be what a lot of those guys would do back in the day. They would get a list and they would call. And just say if they call 100 people, they're going to give 50 people the favorite, 50 people the underdog. Mm. Then the next week or the next day, they're going to call you back. They know 50 people won out of the 100. Then they're going to do the same thing. And eventually it's going to dwindle down, but that's how they would keep things going. But they didn't really give you quality information, not like your father. Your father breaks it down very well.
Yeah.
Are you a sports gambler yourself?
I'm really not. I like gambling. I like roulette. I like the numbers.
Okay, but, so you like a different stuff.
Yeah, I like playing sports, but I never really grew up watching them.
Do you watch? Are you a football fan?
Yeah, but not like every day. Like I root for my team every week. But like I like the Steelers. You know?
Pros or college? Oh, are you Steelers?
I like the Steelers.
Any college or not?
No college.
No college. Okay. Would you ever see yourself doing a podcast?
I don't know. This is definitely something that's a little different than what I'm used to, you know, sitting here talking to people. But I don't know. I don't really have a crazy life, you know.
All right. Well, I think that's what it is. You know, you have to find something that you're passionate about. I had no experience doing this at all until, you know, I fell into my particular situation. And then I knew that I didn't want to get boxed into one thing like true crime. So I thought of that name Crime and Entertainment because that kind of encompassed everything I wanted to talk about. But it was kind of a guy gave it to me and I was like, I don't know if I just want to do true crime. I might want to do, you know, movies or entertainment. He's like, so you want to do crime and entertainment? I'm like, that's actually a pretty catchy name.
Yeah. Crime and entertainment is good.
So it opens up the door for me to bring a lot of different people on, you know, from all different walks of life, law enforcement, opposite sides of the law. And that's something, if you have anything in mind that you may want to, you know, focus on, there's always an avenue for that. And for me, I found it therapeutic.
Yeah.
You know, going through a lot of the stuff that I was going through. When you go around, I guess you grew up in this area right here where I'm at now?
Right here.
Because this is my first time visiting y'all's home. And it's a nice area.
Pleasure to have you,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like a little festival going on right now.
I heard you guys talking about it. It reminds me a lot of North Carolina driving through here.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Up there where my grandfather used to live, some of the mountains and terrain here is really pretty. My wife would love it here. Yeah. Yeah. She hates living in city.
Yeah, I love the Hudson Valley. This is where I want to stay here forever.
Yeah.
Maybe I have some home somewhere, but this is where I love it here.
I was driving up here. I took a picture and I sent it to her. And she's like, yeah, I moved here tomorrow.
Yeah. It's quiet. You know, no one bothers you. You know?
When you think, when people hear the last name Colombo, your father, your grandfather, what do you think is the first thing that goes through their mind?
Probably crime. That's definitely, it is a huge last name, you know?
It is.
It's a big, my grandfather, he was a huge figure, you know, very well-respected man.
And not just because he's standing over here, but you want to know one of the things that go through my mind now? Respect.
Yeah.
Respect. I mean, you think about that. That last name, you don't, men without that kind of respect don't get that kind of last name. You know what I'm saying? That's not synonymous with a certain area. Mm. And even today, now all these years later, it's still referred to as the Colombo family.
Yeah.
No matter what, whoever took over as boss or alleged this or alleged that, it still has a Colombo name. But that's a powerful name.
Absolutely. It is a crazy thing to think about all the thing my grandfather did and all the respect he did yield and what he tried to do for the Italian American.
And that's the biggest difference between him and other guys that I've looked at and researched. And like I say, it's very hard, as your father pointed out, to find accurate information about these people, especially me. I'm born in 83. I'm 40 years old. A lot of the stuff took years before I've ever been around. So you have to decipher through a lot of bullshit to get to the truth. Mm-hmm. But you do. There are things that are obviously in the paper, in the news. I mean, your grandfather was a very, very, very important man. At what age did you start asking your father about your grandfather?
Probably not until like recently, where I wanted to actively probably high school. That's okay. Like around 15, 16. That's when I really wanted to learn more about him and start asking stories. You know, especially because I didn't grow up meeting him, you know?
Right.
He passed early. So I would always ask my dad questions about, you know, how's grandpa like and things of that nature. So
you got it straight from the source.
Yeah,
you didn't have to go through and decipher through old news clips and everything else.
And like everything that he says, all the, you know, like all the quotes that my dad has from my grandfather, you know, remember, forget the experience, remember the lesson. Like things I put that towards everything in my everyday life. And I really try to live by those things because it makes sense, you know.
Your father could do a book on quotes.
No, yeah, he has a quote for everything.
Yeah, like we were doing our interviews, all the quotes that he was throwing out. I'm sitting here in my mind, I'm trying to jot it down. Like, all right, that's a short.
Gotta use that one.
He even told me one today that I was just like, I said, I really like that. I think it was a little bit of knowledge is dangerous, but what you don't know can't hurt you.
Yeah,
like all those things just are just.
Well, he's very knowledgeable. You know, he's gone through absolutely everything. And I'm grateful because I could, you know, he paved the path of a rough childhood and a rough upbringing. And I get to just reach to him instead of making those same mistakes,
there's nobody better to talk to than somebody that's already been through it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you have to look at that as a benefit. My wife is a high school guidance counselor. Mm-hmm. And so she's able to, I think, be on the same level with a lot of the kids because she didn't have, you know, the best upbringing. So she's able to understand it and come from the position of, you know, she's been where they've been in some cases, not every case, but in most cases. If someone knows that somebody hasn't been through what they're going through, they're not going to pay any attention to them just trying to give them the right advice.
Exactly.
So the fact that you're not, hope you won't go through nowhere near is what your father did, but you know, just life advice, 100%. You're going to be at a benefit for that growing up with somebody like
that. And I'm grateful. Seriously. That's not every kid has that, you know? So.
Was, you play sports coming up?
I did. I played football, baseball, and a little bit of wrestling.
How big of a critique was he on your sports?
What is that?
How big of a critique
was he? Oh, no, never critique. He never pushed me to play sports, never did anything like that. He was just whatever I was happy in doing, he wanted me to do. If I went out there and I made the big play, then he was happy, you know? But it wasn't like after a bad game, it wasn't throwing things and stuff like that. It was just like, if you want to enjoy this, you want to do it, then go out and do it.
And whatever you did, I'm sure he wanted you to just be passionate.
Just be happy. You know, my dad, another famous quote, he's like, what he says to me a lot is, if you wake up every day and you're happy about what you do, I don't care if it's a janitor or the CEO, as long as you're happy in what you do and you can put your head on the pillow and know you're doing everything you can, then I'm happy and I'm proud.
That's right. That's what I tell my kid. I'm like, I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
You got to do something.
Yeah.
Because when you don't do anything, that's when you can start getting involved in shit that you don't need to be involved in.
Yeah, I don't mind. And idle hands are no good.
Yeah. So what do you see yourself doing 5 years from now?
Well, I want to keep doing the finance, the MCA that we have doing on, and the financial instruments that we have been doing. And I fell in love with it, to be honest.
Really?
The merchant cash advance industry and the lending money industry. So, okay.
So I heard you guys kind of discussing a little bit about that earlier.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where you're focused on right now.
Absolutely.
What about growing it outside of this area?
With us? Just see where it takes us. Right now, it's taking one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just focus on doing the best we can right now in what we're doing. But if it's going to take us to other avenues, then 100%.
You never know what one door can open for something else. You know, I had a tragedy for me to open up to start doing this podcast. And so obviously I'm not hoping for a tragedy, but I'm just saying it could open up a door for something else. If you had the opportunity, I would say, to get into anything, podcasting, filmmaking, and it doesn't have to be related to your father. What's something that you would say if they gave you a big budget and said, hey, I want you to make a documentary that you think everybody's going to watch? What would you make?
Maybe on my dad, he is the most interesting person I've ever met. I'm going to be honest. I'm not just saying that because he's my dad. There's very few people in this world like him. And you don't realize that because when you grow up.
He's dad.
Yeah. And then you go out there in the real world, you go to college, and then you meet other people and then you meet their families and you see how it is. Because everything, I grew up here, it's normal. You know, my norm is definitely not what the average person is. So that's when it really hit me, you know.
Well, that's the key thing is a lot of people, when they grow up, they don't know, like, you know, how their father is perceived.
Yeah.
They're just dad to you.
Yeah, he was just dad.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, I knew, like, a little, like, you know, I knew he was always a little different.
Yeah. What about your friends? Did they know who he was?
Yeah. Yeah. They all pretty much know. You know, it's a huge last name. It's not something I'm ever going to. That's going to go with me everywhere.
You ever had anybody say Columbo? Are you, if they don't know you and they don't know who you are, like I say, are you related to?
Yeah, I get that. It's a little weird because I never really got it. Like even if my friends knew, they never said anything, you know,
right.
Like it's just, I'm just Joe to them. It's not like this big, you know, it's just me. But I have had a couple weird interactions where people are weird about it. Like, all right, like, why did you say that? You know, like talking to me, you know, like,
yeah. Was that anything to do with the other one?
Exactly.
I mean, your name in and of itself is very powerful.
Absolutely.
Joseph coming from your grandma, and then Christopher Columbo. I mean, that's a very powerful name.
Yeah.
So you got. I'm sure that you were given that name, hoping you're going to fill some shoes, and I think you're doing that.
I really tried to. You know, everything that my grandfather did and all the great things he did, I don't want it because I am the last boy to continue the name.
You are.
So it is a.
So, you know what that means? You might have to.
Yeah, I have some children.
You're going to have to get some kids.
Yeah, I got to get a couple.
So the lineage
gotta
can put continue.
Some, yeah, I got to put some work in.
Grandfather. Has he got grandkids already?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet.
Chris. Chris, you ready to be a grandfather? Yeah?
He's practicing hard, though. He went in his room with a purple light. It looks like a rainforest.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, I'm glad you come on, man, and this is your first time doing this.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a little interview. It was definitely a little strange, you know, like talking, but you asked some really good questions, and thank you for having me on. This is crazy.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, man. You're welcome back anytime, and I think, you know, anytime you get to interview somebody that's around someone as interesting as your father, mm-hmm. has these lineages, as, you know, lineages to your grandfather, there's very, you know, few people that have that opportunity. So I certainly appreciate you coming on. I know it's your first time, so yeah. I don't want to make you too nervous.
No, 100%. No, 100%. No, next time I come on here, I'll definitely tell some stories. Or
absolutely. If you got anything you want to share, anything funny, whatever.
I don't know. There's so many. There's like three every day that'll... Because when it's normal, you don't think about it. It's a little laugh. You're like, oh, like that was actually pretty funny.
You know, when I was sitting in there and listening to you guys banter back and forth about getting the food and this, that, and the other, you know what I thought about it in my head? I'm like, this would actually make a pretty funny reality TV show right here.
Oh, I think about it all the time.
With him, with Andy coming over, oh, and then your dad, you.
It's constant. I want to start live shooting because
you should.
It's constant. Yeah, 100%.
My son, I told my son right now,
Dad,
I was like,
Robert says I'm a walking TV show.
No, he is.
My favorite.
You 100%. Are. You are. I'm not. He's not wrong. That could be a $1 million idea.
It's never boring.
Yeah, that is one thing. It was never boring growing up.
Oh, I believe it.
And a lot of laughs.
Always.
We've had a lot of laughs in here this morning. Just in, I mean,
I guess probably that's one of the big things that I've taken away from my dad is humor, and especially, you know, all the rough situations that he has been in. You know, growing up and watching mm-hmm. your father,
yeah,
pass on TV or get shot on TV is it's a horrible thing, and I think about that a lot. You know. And that's mm-hmm. a rough thing to go about, and to take all that pain and to take all that tragedy and turning it to humor. Mm-hmm. He does it all. We do that in everything. Whenever something's, you know, messed up, we'll turn to the humor side.
Yeah, you got. I think it comes out. You know, that's that old saying. You got to laugh to keep from crying. Yeah. Sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
And then not only that, what he does that he is trying to, like he said, educate the youth of America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spread truth, and that's a big thing, especially when you do a podcast. You know, along the lines of these, you want to try to put out the truth in anything that you do, but especially like this.
100%.
Are you, we covered this earlier, you're a big numbers guy, but as far as gambling, you like roulette and stuff?
Yeah, I try, like, I play with my friends. We have a couple card games, but I don't got the patience for it. I can't sit there. I'll shove all in.
We all got casinos up here?
Yeah, we do, but I'm not old enough actually to go on to the, where's the Resort World. There's Resort World. Anthony, where's Resort World? Catskills. And then we have, they just opened up a new one, a new casino, but it's only electronic in I got you. They killed me there. And then you have to be 18 over.
So. I can't trust electronic casinos.
Absolutely not.
There's nothing about it that seems on the up and up for me.
Absolutely not. And they have these games. It's like blackjack where everyone gets the same hand and everyone gets the same, everyone gets the same hand. So if I hit and then everyone hits, it's crazy.
Is it on an Indian reservation or something? Why they can't have live games?
I don't know. I don't know why they I think they did it so for 18, everyone over 18.
Yeah, there was one in Tennessee that was like that originally. I think it's changed now, but when I went the first time, they didn't have any live dealers. Everything was automated. And also it was dry, like, so you couldn't get any alcohol or anything like that to drink. And I think a lot of that's changed now, but I can't trust an electronic machine, especially dealing me blackjack.
Yeah.
Obviously, roulette, you know, you've had to trust that for years. But
yeah.
Blackjack, I can't trust in a machine because they don't know whether it's going to give you a blackjack.
Yeah, 100%.
And historically, blackjack is one of the games that people can benefit at, especially exactly. if you're good with numbers.
And I'll try to play by the book as much as possible. And then, I'm you know, yeah. it's not working in my favor most of the time, but it should.
Most of the time in there. I mean, listen, casinos are in business and they got all the money for a reason.
Yeah,
you know, they're not losing every day. I'll put it like that. 100%. But, you know, somebody's got to win the jackpots here and there, and that's what they built that dream on. Is people are going to think it's them when they go.
Yeah.
Well, Joseph, I appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. This was definitely an experience.
So.
And I, to answer your question, I was just thinking about it. If I did do like an out, like not a podcast or anything, like I'm big into fitness. So I would love to have like a fitness thing, something like a YouTube channel with fitness.
Yeah, that's
I was thinking about that.
There is a niche for everything you can think of, whether it's video games, fitness, dieting, mm-hmm. working out. You know, ailments, whatever. People have podcasts that they deal with certain ailments, like whether it be arthritis or, you know.
Everything. Chiropractic.
Dialysis.
Yeah,
everything has an audience because that's the first thing you think about it nowadays. The first thing you do, if you got car trouble or you got something, you go to YouTube. I had to go to my other day. I couldn't figure out how to change my wife's blinker in her car.
Yep.
YouTube it real quick. They showed me the bolts that I couldn't see. Popped it right out.
So, you know what time YouTube saved me from getting screamed at? I accidentally, like, a spray can. I left a spray paint can in the car, and then like I threw something in it, spray painted everywhere in the back seat. Next thing, I'm looking up videos, trying to like how to remove spray paint from the car.
Did you get it off?
Oh yeah, got a video right up there.
Oh man, yeah, I can save a beating there.
100%.
But yeah, if you want to do it, man, I encourage you to go out.
So,
wait, and do
so
it.
When you were growing up, there was no YouTube, right? So when you're in your teens, like that wasn't...
It was probably there, but it definitely. I'm not quite that old, but I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, my early years, there was no.
Because the internet progressed so quickly,
right? And it did.
A couple
and
years, you know.
I think now what TikTok was years ago, it was called Vine.
Yeah, I remember Vine. Yeah, I remember Vine.
Yeah, so that was a thing, and then that kind of phased out. Then it was MySpace. Mm-hmm. So that was a thing. And then MySpace phased out, which I love MySpace.
Really?
At the time, like you could tech songs onto your profile. And then whatever was big back then was your top eight. You mm-hmm. had your top eight friends yeah. or whatever. And then, but then that just quickly phased out and Facebook kind of took over and has never really relinquished its grasp on the social media world. And it is a great tool if you can use, especially if you're trying to promote a business or a podcast or
Absolutely.
Whatever. And it can be used negatively if you're not.
Yeah, I was about to say, do you think, say with the shorts, like everything's in shorts. Do you think that's a negative thing with, because sometimes I'll even realize like my attention span or like I'll be skipping through the videos every 30 seconds. Like I'll watch a podcast and I'll just skip to the.
I think shorts are important, especially for podcasts, because if you're doing them yourself, you're picking out the spots that, you know, you think is going to grab the audience's attention. Mm-hmm. And the way somebody broke it down to me was, you got 3 seconds or 3 to 5 seconds to see if somebody's going to watch the next 10.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so on and so forth. So you got to put it together on that short, what you think is going to grab somebody. And I'll be honest, I didn't do shorts when I first started. I just did interviews because I didn't know a lot. I just did interviews, put them up and let it roll. Mm. And then when a guy told me, he's like, man, you really got to start doing shorts. When I did that, I could see an uptick in.
Because a lot of my generation, they can't watch an hour podcast.
Right.
If somebody's so used to just.
I would just tell a guy.
Dopamine just keep scrolling, you know?
Yeah, you got to. They don't like the build and the whole story. And that's kind of, you know, how a society has become these days. So the shorts, the TikToks, they do help.
Another question for you. So how many people are doing what you do with these podcasts? Is it a saturated space in the crowd? Because I don't know. This is not something that I'm usually.
It is very saturated in true crime. And it is fairly saturated. They call it mob tube. That's kind of what it's referred to as everybody in this genre. I don't really put myself in that genre because I do a lot of other stuff and which is exactly what it is. It's a mix of both crime and entertainment. So to answer your question in that regard, yes, it is saturated, but as long as you can mix it up, I feel like you can kind of keep it fresh because I try not to do two of the same style genres or shows back to back. So if I have, you know, a cop on one week, there might be a former criminal on the next, and there might be a girl that was in the adult film industry after that, then someone that's a director or a movie star, and then on down the line. I've had the opportunity to interview a lot of people from Sopranos, which was one of my favorite TV shows. You ever seen Sopranos?
I did watch Sopranos. It was a little weird watching it because it felt like a lot of things hit like really close to home. I swear to God, there was a scene where Tony was in the driveway and he was screaming about pulp.
Yeah,
he's like some pulp or no pulp. I swear to God, this happened. My dad and mom were actually having the same exact argument. It was my dad early in the morning in the robe, and he was saying that he likes some pulp instead of pulp because there's too much pulp. And then it was the boy and the girl. There's a lot of similarity, so it kind of weirded me out. Like I finished it, but it was a little weird to watch.
He told us
it was like someone. Yeah,
he said in the podcast that he and I did. He said there was a lot of similarities. Yeah. You got the boy and the girl, the house. Polish man, but there was a lot of different a lot of similarities through there. So I can imagine that probably was a little.
It was a little freaky. It was a little freaky, definitely.
What, did you watch the whole thing start to finish?
Yeah, the whole thing starts to finish.
What did you think of the ending?
Oh, with the when you they were all eating the onions and the.
Yeah.
In the diner,
Holston's, I think it is.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
With Tony, probably that was Tony's probably last day in his family.
Is that what you thought?
I think that was Tony's last step.
I watching that live, I panicked because I thought my damn cable had been cut off or something. I didn't realize what was going on until the music started after that. And looking back on it now, I think at start when I was pissed and I hated it because I wanted a resolution. Mm-hmm. I felt like at that point in time, I had known these characters for 7 or 8 years.
A correct ending. You wouldn't know exactly what's happening.
I think you had a writer's strike in there at some point, so it went a little long. Mm-hmm. And then season 6 was actually 2 seasons mixed into one. So 7 or 8 years, you grew to know these characters.
When you were watching it, you tuned in every week on TV, right?
And I tuned in the 3rd season. I actually didn't watch it until the 3rd season.
Okay.
I didn't have HBO. Okay. So it wasn't that I wasn't, you know, a fan of it. I just didn't have HBO at the time. And I found season 1, season 2 in a pawn shop in DVD. Now, people might not remember DVDs now because everything's streaming.
Yeah.
But those box sets were expensive. They were like $100.
Yeah.
Yeah. And compared to other shows that were like 30 or 40. So they thought a lot of Sopranos back then.
Yeah.
And I found both season 1 and season 2 in a pawn shop for $20 a piece.
Really?
And so I was like, all right, yeah, I'm going to give this thing a shot. And man, I was hooked. I burned through season 1. I burned through season 2.
That's when you know it's a good TV show. You keep watching and keep watching it.
After that, I signed up for HBO, caught season 3. And it was like you had church Sunday morning, you had Sopranos Sunday night.
Yeah.
That was the ritual for years. And when that show went off, like I said, my feeling on it was I felt mad and upset because I wanted a resolution. I didn't want to be left knowing. Now that I'm older, I like the ending because it's like, I can make it whatever I want.
Yeah, put some creativity on it.
I can make it. Okay, he's
good.
That
was my take. I like that too.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe the guy coming out of the bathroom, you know, maybe it was the members only jacket.
Yeah, the jacket. And there's a whole bunch of theories out there with the onions, like Tony never liked to eat onions. It's one of the greatest TV shows of all time.
Well, the thing about it is you can watch it now. And outside of the technology that they use, maybe the huge computer screens and the flip phones, that show looks like it could have been shot yesterday.
Yeah.
The dialogue, the acting, and a lot of these guys were not very well known like superstar actors. I mean, later on they got some more seasoned guys as it went on, but like I had never seen Vincent Caratola in anything that played Johnny Sack. You know, James Gandolfini was in a few things, but never nothing him on that level.
Yeah, that was their major.
Edie Falco was in Oz. She was a prison guard in Oz, but I mean, you know, very minor role. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Carmela changed her life. She's had a few things since then as well. Tony Sirico was a very interesting character. I mean, if you'd have told me you're going to make a mob show and take the guitars from Bruce Springsteen and put him in there, who was originally supposed to play Tony.
Yeah.
I
didn't hear about that.
They wanted him to play Tony.
And Silvio was, he's my favorite, one of my favorite characters.
HBO told David Chase that there was no way they could trust if they were going to back this TV show.
Another thing. The BJ said he consulted with David Chase. That was closed script. He didn't ask nobody, and he didn't let nobody know anything.
Yeah. The actors barely knew anything.
I can tell you firsthand, we know what he is, and I know that's another falsehood, unpatternably true. He's the lobotomy kid. That's the nation they did podcast. The BJ and the BJ and the lobotomy kid.
I love my train of thought.
Yeah, but if you're back to Sopranos.
You're looking for information from the desperate liar and the galactically stupid. Tune in to the BJ.
Is this going to go first? Or they're going to be out? They'll be a little confused.
I hope it goes first. So it might be confused. But yeah, I mean, if I was to say, hey, I'm going to make this show we're going to put it.
The part that he missed that I'm Sheila Evans, head of HBO New York. Went to be out of court. Wow, Sonny Watts was telling Tony how to behave. He would have ran it on his own crew.
Yeah.
He would have killed the staff with drugs.
Did you know who, what's his real name? Steven Van Zandt was? Did you know he was in the Bruce Springsteen band?
Because I
thought he was in.
I like Sil's character so much. And then I was going through TikTok. He portrayed the role perfectly. Yeah.
See, originally they wanted, like I said, they wanted him to be Tony,
mm-hmm.
and HBO wouldn't sign off on him.
Yeah,
they was like, we got to have at least somewhat of a seasoned actor. We can't go with a first time actor. And I don't think the character of Sil was written so that he had to write something in there.
That happens a lot, also with Vito.
Yeah,
they liked Vito. So he was
brought him back
in the scene with the guy in the foot. Which also goes back to Goodfellas.
Yeah, yeah. Nod to Goodfellas.
I like how they did that. Oh, it happens after you shot him in the foot.
Nod to Goodfellas. There was another one, Patsy. Remember Patsy?
Patsy, yeah.
So there was the only character that they played the twin card, is what he called it. He and John Fiore were biding for spots on The Sopranos. They both got it. And John Fiore killed him, and I think the opener of season two, because that picked up right after everything had happened from season one, obviously. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, John Fiore's in the car with him, and he shoots him right in the head.
Yes.
So he said David Chase is watching this before it's released, and he's like, yeah, well, I kind of like that guy. I hate we killed him.
Yeah.
And so the director looks at him, and he says, you can play the twin card one time. So they played it that he had a twin, and he made it from then to the very last episode. In fact, he's the only one that you can kind of say you know he didn't get killed, because or him and Pauly Walnuts.
Oh, yeah.
He goes when Sue gets shot in the car, Patsy got out and he's running down that creek. You never really see what happens to him. Mm-hmm. He's running away. So he made it all the way to the very end.
Yeah.
So a lot of good characters in there, man. And
it's great. And how they with the especially with the dreams, how vivid the dreams are, and how it's they've done a lot of it was revolutionary. Antagonist as the first like villain protagonist.
Yeah,
and it was never before. It was always the good guy.
And people wanted him to get away with it.
Yeah.
How odd is that?
It's insane. And now you see Breaking Bad. You know, it really paved the way for every other major TV show. Yeah. Ozark.
The Shield. Did you ever watch The Shield?
Never watched.
It's a cop show with this Michael Chiklis played this dirty cop named Vic Mackey. I mean, it's a crew of dirty cops, but you like them because you like what they're doing. You kind of fall in love with
invested.
Sons of Anarchy. Did you ever watch Sons of Anarchy?
He loved Sons of Anarchy. I never watched it.
Sons of Anarchy was great. It's Dre DiMattei is in there also, which she played Adriana, Christopher's girlfriend from Sopranos. She was in my favorite two TV shows.
Yeah.
Sopranos and Sons of Anarchy is my top two. Head and shoulders above everything else. And Dre DiMattei.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen Power. Power is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole thing they're doing right now, 50 Cent's a genius with everything he's doing, with the whole universe. It's very
marketing
genius.
A hit show, you don't want to run into the ground by running it past when people lose interest, because there's only so much story you can get.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we love TV shows, especially with plots like that. Now, if it's a comedy, you can get a little bit more mileage out of it because you don't really have plot points. It's just you're making people laugh.
Yeah, how many villains? How many?
Right. But how many times can somebody almost get caught? How many times can somebody almost die?
Exactly.
So he figured out the sweet spot to end it, but he didn't end it.
Yeah.
He spawned it into three more shows or four, however many. You got Raising Kanan, you got Power Book 2.
I think Raising Kanan, they just have a new season. I have to watch it.
Yep, Raising Kanan's coming on.
And you know it's a really good TV show when everyone collectively hates one character. Like Tariq St. Patrick, everyone's just like, I genuinely was like, what is this kid doing? You know, like,
well, a lot
you get
of people,
involved into you get you start you get involved in the show and it's crazy.
A lot of people felt that way about Robert Eiler playing AJ.
Yeah,
because and you kind of had to because you've got this masculine figure of Tony Soprano's tough guy, don't take no shit, and you just got the total opposite of his son that you would want to be coming up right after him in the same footsteps. And the daughter's, you know, arguably more tougher than the kids, and it pisses you off so bad. And I remember the other day I was upstairs, all my bedrooms in my house are upstairs. Mm-hmm. There's no bedrooms downstairs. And I leave and I'm walking by my son's bedroom and he's got his headset on playing, you know, Fortnite or whatever the hell he's playing. And he's laughing at whoever. I can't hear who he's talking to, but he's just laughing. And it was just like that scene when Tony's standing there and he's looking through the door and he sees his son at the computer laughing like that. And he's just got that look on his face.
Yep.
And I'm just sitting there, God, this is kind of surreal. Cause I'm like, what the hell can be that funny?
Yeah.
Laughing like that.
100%.
But no, when somebody's like that and they have a collective group of people hating that character, not that they're hating the person, but that character and how that's a mark of a great actor.
Exactly.
Because like you said, Tariq,
they really embodied the role.
AJ. Yeah. They embody that role. And you hate him so bad that it's just years later, they're still talking about, what's going on. Are you watching the Tommy one? The one that just
I watched the first season.
Oh, you didn't watch the second one?
I didn't watch the second one. I've been so busy with everything. I haven't really had time to. The first season of Raising Kanan, I loved it.
Yep.
And then the second one just released, and I got to catch up. And then I had to catch up on all of them. They released one with Tommy and Tyree. They just have a new one.
Yeah, that's the what do they call that? Power Book 2 or whatever?
The Ghost.
Ghost. Oh, that's
Power
right.
Book Ghost.
Power Book Ghost. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, the Tommy one was really good, man.
Yeah.
It was. We just finished that one. I got my wife into the Power about season three of the original, when they were in New York.
I love it.
And it was, I mean, like you said, man, 50's a marketing genius.
Yeah.
And he got, what's the BMF?
BMF. You know, BMF. I haven't seen that, but yeah, he's got everything.
It's good. I talked with a lady the other day. I got a chance to interview. You ever seen the movie Paid in Full?
Paid in Full. Yeah.
So you
a great one.
You know all those guys that those characters are based on, right?
Money Making Mitch. Yeah, I don't know too much about real life characters, but I know they're all based off of a true story.
Yeah, they are based off true stories of guys that were in Harlem that were like big time deals at the time. So like Noble Wood, which is the guy that was played in The Wire. He was
Wire's another one, another great too.
Sure. Yeah, it was great. Barksdale, he was Avon Barksdale. So I think he plays a guy that's based Ace Faison. There's another guy named Rich Porter. Cameron plays the guy that was Alpha Martinez.
Really hateable role.
Yeah.
That guy's
all no those guys were top dogs, and one Ace was married to a lady named Miss T. Mm-hmm. And Miss T was pretty much front lines in that drug game in Harlem. And she was, I guess you could say she was a real one.
Yeah.
And I just had her on the podcast last week. Oh, I done it Wednesday before I come up here to New York. And so I'll probably drop that one in a week or so. That one's going to be really good.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to. I'll check out for that one.
Yeah. She's really good. So
I make sure you guys all tune into that one, too.
Yeah. Miss T coming soon to Crime Entertainment. So, yeah, if you get into these things, man, I hope you listen to the show. You'll probably find 100%. Some numbers on there. We've had a lot of interesting guests from a lot of different walks of life, man. Like I said, you got crime, the entertainment part of it. It's so surreal now because I still watch Sopranos from time to time, and I'll go through a scene and I'd be like, I interviewed that guy. I think I've interviewed like 6 people from that show.
Yeah, they actually, Sopranos actually mentioned it. I remember I was like watching all my friends and they mentioned, I think it was like, I made it through the Colombo War by the skin of my teeth. And that's like, that's another surreal thing too. Like when you're just watching a TV show and they start mentioning your family's
name. That was Sirico, and he really was a real dude.
Yeah.
Like they said he wasn't acting. Tarico was not acting himself. In there. He was playing himself.
Yeah, he said he wouldn't take the role unless he was a rat. Yep. Yeah, there was something else, but
I forgot what it. There was something else he said he didn't want to do. He said it wouldn't be something, and he would never be a rat. Yeah. I forgot what it was. There was something particular, but they said he was a particular guy
or something. Maybe it wasn't.
Yeah, he couldn't get killed off, and he wouldn't be a rat.
Yeah,
but yeah,
it happens a lot. Like a lot of actors won't take a role unless they like. I think The Rock. Like The Rock can never lose a fight.
It's yeah,
same thing with Vin Diesel. Like they.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why they had their beef the Fast and the Furious. Nobody wants to lose. That's kind of what I was talking to your father earlier, is creative control. They had that in wrestling. Hulk Hogan, for years, would never lose a match. And that's why a lot of people hated him, because he was like, if it didn't make good business sense, he wasn't going to do it. And that was his thing. Is he was like, well, it wouldn't make good business. At some point, you got to lose. Like, you got to lose to go win it back.
Yeah, 100%.
If you just keep it all the time, you're going to lose interest.
100%.
And me personally, I like villains in wrestling too. I think they get to play the better part.
Really?
Yeah. Were you a big wrestling fan?
Oh, I loved it. I met a whole bunch of wrestlers. My dad always took me to WrestleManias and everything. I was huge into it.
Oh, you went into WrestleManias? Yeah. Oh, wow.
I met John King a couple times. I love Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio was always my favorite. The little guy. Like him. Rey match cool. With the Big Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rey was cool. Even what's the Paul brother that's in it now? He just beat Rey Mysterio for the championship.
Yeah, the Paul brothers. Yeah. They're killing it.
They are. Dude, you want to talk about marketing geniuses? Yeah, like, if you 50 cents here at the top of the game, the Paul brothers are out of
money. They really have a chokeholder on everything. And it's funny. There's influencer everything. KSI really started the YouTube, the influencer boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into, now it's influencer poker.
And they got their hands in the betting
everything.
And
they have like better,
where you're doing the like player objective parlays and stuff like that. And, they say what they want to about the kid. Which one's the taller one? The one that's in WWE? That's Logan, right?
Logan, and then the younger one's Jake. He's actually he's a pretty good boxer. I kind of like Jake.
I do, too.
I kind of like him. He's a likable guy.
Well, he's figured out the game, because if you're not a professional boxer, you can't go fighting professional boxers. You're going to get the hell beat out of you. So you go fight these guys that's got name, retired quality, MMAs, retire MMAs.
Tyron Woodley, things of that age.
Yeah, and because when you talk shit like he does, like Conor McGregor does, mm-hmm. like Floyd Mayweather did. I did too. I love him. And I still love him.
Yeah.
But that has a shelf.
You do nothing. You do nothing about it. I own Rio de Janeiro.
But that kind of stuff has a shelf life as long as you're winning.
Yeah,
when you back it up. If you go out there and you lose every fight, but yet you're still talking shit. And I'll knock Conor for a minute. He hadn't had the best run lately. He did get beat bad by Khabib. But when he lost that second fight to Poirier, he's laying there, or sitting there, rather, on the canvas with his foot snapped in half. Yeah. And Rogan sticks the mic to him.
I'm still his wife's DMs.
Your wife's in the DMs. I'm just like, he's a badass. God, you can't.
100%.
Who lays there with his foot cracked and talking to you? You're still talking shit, but if there's anybody that can get away with it and still lose it, is him. And he revolutionized the UFC as far as talking that shit. There were some guys that would talk shit here and there. Chael Sonnen.
Oh, he really put it on the map though.
But
he made UFC to what it was.
And he crossed that boundary over into boxing when he fought Floyd Mayweather God, yeah. when he was still at his prime.
Did you ever see Mike Tyson talk about it? I was just watching a podcast on Mike Tyson. It's a couple years ago he was talking about it, but he said that Mike Tyson said Floyd Mayweather went, was it eight rounds with the greatest boxer ever with never having boxed before.
Yeah.
It was a really crazy feat.
Yeah, you know? No, it was. And like,
a truly special athlete.
Done really good. And, you know, I didn't expect, I thought going in, if Conor had a chance, it was needs to be in the first three rounds. Mm-hmm. I figured if it went past three rounds, just knowing Conor's history is, as far as gassing, and I don't want to talk like I'm a UFC
shorter, expert. You know,
yeah.
UFC, but, what is it? How many? Five-minute rounds?
Yeah. Depending on if it's a championship fight, it's, you know, 5-minute rounds. If it's non-championship, it'll be three rounds. Mm-hmm. If it's championship, I think they go to five. So I don't want to talk like I'm a UFC fighter or nothing. I'd gas out walking up these stairs. back upstairs. But as a fan watching it, you would see that Conor would gas out towards the end. He did it in the Diaz fight in part two. He dominated that fight for the first three rounds, and then towards the end, Diaz started closing the gap a little bit. So I knew if the fight went longer and deeper into it, that he would probably have some trouble, which he did, but still great, great performance. And that really, not only did it make him rich beyond his wildest dreams. But I mean, it set that bar for everybody else to do those crossover fights. Mm-hmm. And that's really where the Paul brothers have made a killing doing that. And I mean, you think about the other one, Logan, even though he lost, like he got to fight Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah. Because even though it's boxing or UFC, whatever, it's still an entertainment. People are watching it for entertainment. So you almost have to sell yourself to get to that next level, you know?
Did you watch that Untold on him? There's a documentary called Untold. I think it's – I don't know if Netflix? It's ESPN. Yeah, it's on Netflix. I think it is.
I watched a couple episodes.
It's really good, man, and it breaks down, like, how they started, like, early age. They were always a little, you know, doing crazy shit, and they got their first camcorder, and they started on Vine. That was when they started. Wow. And then that kind of transferred over to YouTube. And he said they would just do like crazy things. And then that led to like, you know, investors. And he said like one of the first times a guy called him was like wanting to sponsor him or something along the lines. They were going to give him money. And he said he kind of hangs up the phone and looks at his dad and was like, Dad, you know, what do I tell him? He's like, tell him $5,000. Mm-hmm. So he tells him $5,000. He's like, all right, done. That's when they were like,
okay, wow, we can make some money.
Yeah, this can go somewhere. Profitable. And they took it and they ran with it. So that's what I'm trying to tell my son now. Like, if you can get a hold of something, doesn't matter what it is, if it's playing video games, talking, whatever it is, if you can start it now and grow it, I mean, you never know where it can go to.
100%.
So like I said, you mentioned the fitness thing earlier, man, if that's something you're into.
Yeah, I love it.
Start it, because it's easier to do it if it's something you love.
Yeah, 100%.
If you're talking about something you got no interest in, it's not going
to work out.
And it's going to convey to the audience, to the listeners. They're going to be able
to
show
your audience hears what you're passionate about when you speak. Yeah. You hear it in someone's voice when I actually genuinely could.
And it's like, hear. I got excited when we started talking. We were almost about to end it. And then we got on the subject of Sopranos and that just kind of, you know, reamped me because I love that show and, you know, and good entertainment in general. It doesn't have to be those types of shows, but I find myself watching crime dramas, I guess, if you will, more than anything else. My wife hates it because she needs comedy, but I need the exact opposite.
Yeah, I need action.
Yeah, so I'm forced to watch like Hallmark Christmas movies.
I can't do that.
Yeah, well, you're not married yet. When you're married, you'll understand it. You do a lot of shit you won't do when you get married.
We'll be watching Goodfellas on Christmas.
Now she will watch that. That's the one. You know, I can say my movie, but whatever. She'll watch Casino too, but she will watch Goodfellas.
What's your favorite movie?
Like, all time?
The gangster movies. What's your favorite?
I would say Goodfellas is a favorite, and I know this might be an unpopular opinion, but Gotti with Amada Santi is probably number two.
Really?
I love that movie. I thought it was really well done. A lot of the actors in there were great. A lot of the actors from there went on to be in Sopranos. I think it was like a high number. I want to say like 8 or 9 maybe. I mean, maybe more than that, they went on to be in Sopranos.
Yeah, it happens a lot. Like with the Wire, they go on with Boardwalk Empire.
Yep.
It's another phenomenal one.
Yep, Boardwalk Empire was really good. I was thinking about this the other day, another movie, and I don't really know if you would consider a mob movie, but it definitely have mob undertones, but it was just a story and all that. Not a lot of people talk about it. Have you ever seen a movie called Sleepers?
Sleepers, no, never.
Really?
Never.
Okay, you got to go watch this movie. It's like two movies combined in one.
Really?
So these four... either 4 or 5 kids, I can't remember. they come up with this idea, and it's based in New York, Hell's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. They steal a guy's hot dog cart. One guy goes up, he orders a hot dog, you know, asks the guy for some napkins. When the guy reaches for the napkins, he takes off. So the vendor gives chase. The other ones come up and just start taking, you know, hot dogs and, you know, robbing them blind. And they're like, all right, we're going to take this cart, put it to like the subway, mm-hmm. like the edge of the stairs. When he comes back, he's going to have to grab it. And he's fighting it up on the stairs. We're going to take off. It don't work like that. Long story short, the cart goes down the stairs and kills a guy.
Really?
They have to go to basically a juvenile jail. In this juvenile jail, Kevin Bacon is a security guard. And I don't want to get demonetized or, you know, a strike on this, but basically he does a lot of bad things to these kids while they're
there. Oh my God. I think wait, this is actually really funny. Cause I think I was talking about this movie, a long time ago and I couldn't remember the name. Is this the one where then they have them fighting and then they do the poker games or
no, not this one.
Where they have the kids dress up? No,
no.
Okay.
He would just go to their,
this is a TV show.
There is a TV show that's very similar.
Yeah.
There's a TV show that's real.
I forgot the name. That's what I'm trying to find. Cause I want to go back and watch that.
I forgot what
the kids, I hate to cut you off. I'm sorry, but the kids, they got into a car accident and then one of them became a lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm talking about, I've been trying to find the name of that TV show for a while.
I can
see me alive. If everyone knows, please put that in the comments because I've been wanting to go back on that.
We'll go back and look at it because I watched that thing. One of them's mm-hmm. a lawyer. One of the guys flips out and kills mm-hmm. one of the guards in the very yep. beginning. And that kind of sets everything yep. in motion. And I often say when I seen that TV show, I know what you're talking about because it is parallel to yep. Sleepers a lot. And that's what happens. They get, you know, done really badly in jail. I won't go into specifics, mm-hmm. but a lot. And then once they get out, it's kind of like it skips forward X amount of years. The brothers or the friends have all kind of grown their separate ways. Two of them wind up being, you know, in the life and they walk in. I think they said they were the Westies and they walk in this bar and they see Kevin Bacon there. And so obviously they sit down and they take enjoyment and they shoot him and fill him full of bullets right there in the restaurant and leave. Well, one of them has become a lawyer. That lawyer takes the case, but he takes the case to put him away.
Oh, wow.
But he does it in a plan to get them off, but he's not got to make it seem that way.
Is this,
so it's like
called Sleepers. Oh, yeah. This is phenomenal.
Oh, it's so many good people, man. It's Brad Pitt, Jason Patrick, Robert De Niro's in there, and like a guy in Hell's Kitchen that's kind of the guy around King Benny. Great. I mean, just a great. I can't say a good thing enough about Sleepers, man. And not a lot of people talk about it, but I love it. I mean, it's more than, you know, a mob movie. It's got those undertones here and there, but it's a really great. It's a revenge movie. It's, you know,
yeah, I like movies like that.
Yeah, it's a really good, but it parallels that TV series you're talking about really to a T. And the guy that it was a book first. And the guy that his name's escaping me right now, but he's one of the characters in the movie, but he's the one that wrote the book, and it's all supposedly a true story. Now, however, they said they don't have any proof to back it up, but in his experiences, he said that was a true story that he wrote on what really happened to him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go
check. I'm going to definitely check that out.
It's a really good one.
I'm excited.
Well, Joseph, man, I appreciate you coming on the show, my friend.
Seriously.
Had a good time. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Hollywood Wade. That was Joseph Christopher Columbo, and unfortunately, we're out of time. Oh, yeah, he's coming on. I'm just going to split him up. That way I have more content.
Yeah, thank you guys for bearing with me. This is my first time ever doing anything like this. So,
all right. Love to have you back soon, my friend.
Good talking to you.
Boy, oh boy, I hope everyone enjoyed that episode. I hope you're digging what we're doing here on Crime and Entertainment. If you are, head on over to the YouTube, like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. That way you get notified every time we drop a video. On the audio side of things, run on over and like us on Spotify, Apple, Google, anywhere you get your podcast, we are out there. And also on all the social medias, we're on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, like, share the show, share the clips, share the TikToks. That's the easiest way to help drive us up the charts. And if you do that, we would really appreciate it. I hope everyone enjoyed that episode with Joseph Columbo. Enjoyed his 21st birthday. So a little shout out. Happy birthday to that man. I've got some more projects in the work with Chris coming real soon. I think you guys enjoy those as well. And that'll do it for today's episode, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Hollywood Wade. That was Joseph Christopher Columbo. And we are out of time here on Crime and Entertainment.